I'm Gloria Moraga. This is One-on-One, Communications in the Digital Age. Today is Sunday, May 31st, 2020. These are sad, dark days in my country. We are being torn apart by racism, violence, and despair. Welcome to my podcast. Please subscribe. I need you. Please download and share. I am a brown woman. I'm a woman of color. I have experienced racism firsthand, but I'm not black. I'm not a black man. I don't know the fear a black man and black women feel because they live in the United States of America. I do know this country. I love my country. I believe in democracy, the legislative, and the electoral processes. But I also know this won't work, none of it, if we don't vote. Or if we say things like, I don't like Hillary Clinton, so I'll just let this idiot get elected. I'm not going to vote. We can't do that. We have a responsibility. I still have faith in our system of government. We have bad people in charge right now. It's not the first time. It won't be the last. This will pass. We have to stay strong. All that said, I know the United States of America has violent beginnings, and our founders committed blatant genocide. These are facts. We don't think about it because it's just too unpleasant. But we better begin making some changes, and soon. The first settlers systematically destroyed Native populations. It was murder and genocide. And they did it for money, land, and power. Slavery began here without a second thought. There were slaves in Europe, why not here? There were vast fortunes to be made in the slave trade. And sadly, slavery continues today in the form of sexual slavery. Young women are sold off and kidnapped. This is the latest statistic I could find. In 2001, the United States State Department estimated that 50,000 to 100,000 women and girls are trafficked each year in the United States. Human trafficking is a modern form of slavery. Where is the outrage? Where are the marches? Where are the protests and where are the stories? Like most of us in America right now, I'm riveted to the television. I'm not enjoying films. I'm watching CNN and channel surfing other news channels. I have my laptop nearby. I'm reading and I'm watching cities burn. I'm appalled, sad, frustrated, and angry. These are not my first national riots. I was alive in 1965. I was 13 when the Watts riots happened in August in Los Angeles, California. My love of television news and my desire to cover social injustice was strong even then. Nothing's changed. If you Google riots in the United States, you will be shocked. We have been rioting in this country since 1783. Here's a short list. 1783, Pennsylvania Mutiny of 1783. 1786, Shays Rebellion. 1786, the Paper Money Riot. 1788, the Doctors Mob Riot. 1791 to 1794, the Whiskey Rebellion. Now, we all remember some of those from American history class. And now it is May 2020. The riots began in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and quickly spread. Then protests erupted in city after city after city. It began after the death, another death, of an unarmed black man, George Floyd. He died after being held on the ground by a police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The police officer held George Floyd on the ground with his knee on Floyd's back. Floyd repeatedly said, "I can't breathe." Floyd was later pronounced dead at the hospital, but the latest reports show that he died there on the ground. This is a quote from Switchcode, I pulled it from the National Public Radio website, and I will place a link in the description. Quote, in July 2014, cell phone video captured some of Eric Gardner's final words as a New York City police officer sat on his head and pinned him to the ground on a sidewalk. I can't breathe, he said. On May 25th of this year, the same words were spoken by George Floyd, who pleaded for release as an officer knelt on his neck and pinned him to the ground on a Minneapolis street. We're at the point where the very words people use to plead for their lives can be repurposed as shorthand for completely separate tragedies. End quote. Once police officials saw the tape of the incident, they fired the officer and three others who stood by and watched. Demonstrators began peacefully protesting in Minneapolis following the officer-involved death of Floyd. That police officer who held Floyd on the ground was arrested and charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Officials still haven't charged the other officers. Not yet. The protests began peacefully, but then outside factions and police and reporters are calling them agitators, outside agitators, and the protesters are calling them riffraff. Well, that second group of people began causing problems, including looting and burning property and buildings. Sunday on television, there were reports of police firing on reporters covering the protests. And I've seen violence back and forth between all groups. It's frightening. It's awful. Like so many people, I just want to turn it off and hide my head in the sand, preferably near a beautiful beach. My mission is to talk about communications and the inability of people to talk to each other. And it brings me to my point. What is the problem with police officials failing to make it clear that this conduct is off limits? My mission is to talk about communications and the inability of people to talk to each other. We don't talk to each other. I mean, clearly, police officials are not talking to the police on the street. I talked to a policeman friend of mine who's now retired. He blamed it on the police unions. He said that these guys cause problems. They're a couple of rotten apples, and then the police unions protect them and they get their jobs back. He says that needs to be reformed. I still don't understand why police officials can't make it clear that officers need to stop and think before they act. And when we talk about communications, I have led media communications training for hundreds of people. When I was in PR at the university, I would always begin my talks with, cameras are everywhere. Never do or say anything that you would mind being broadcast on YouTube. Because if you do, you will be on YouTube saying whatever horrible thing you said. I'm not trying to make light of police killings or media training, but come on, we need to stop killing people. Yes, the majority of cops are good, but the one or two bad ones are destroying us. At the beginning of this podcast, I said, I do know this country. I love my country. I believe in democracy, the legislative and electoral process. I believe in it, but it won't work if we don't vote. When I say that, people say to me, it doesn't matter if I vote. Oh, it does. So far, the year 2020 has been rough. It began with COVID-19, and the lockdown has caused hundreds of businesses to lose their livelihood. Unemployment is at 20%, the worst it's ever been in the United States. And we have race riots. We are a racist nation, and it needs to be fixed. I'm not proud to say that. I'm not happy to say it, but we are. And it needs to stop, and we need to get together and end this mess of a presidency. And it's not just all on him. But he's making the problem worse. I'm looking for his leadership moment. He hasn't had a leadership moment. When we had a shooting at the university, I went to the university president and I said, We need to have a press conference right away, and I need you to talk to the cameras and to the people of Sacramento and to the campus. And he said, why? And I said, because we need a leader. We need a leadership moment that will calm everybody down. If you study history, some of the best presidents maybe didn't do a lot, but they were leaders. They had leadership moments. They led us at a time when we needed it. We need a leader. It's not even 6 months into the year, and we are all filled with despair. And we have less than 6 months before we vote. And it's time to get out there and do this. I'm Gloria Moraga, sad, not feeling great, one-on-one, communications in the digital age. Please subscribe.